So we're continuing, Be'ezus Hashem, finishing Daf Kuf Yud Beis, the final Daf in Masechtas Ksuvos, and we're continuing to discuss this idea, and these are the Eretz Yisrael Gemaras, of how the land of Eretz Yisrael is Meshubach, the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael really sets it apart, and we're beginning, for we're going to start with a story today. It's about 8 lines up, Rav Chiya Bar Ada, Mikri Dardiki on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. And so the Gemara starts Rav Chiya Bar Ada towards the end of the line. Rav Chiya Bar Ada, Mikri Dardiki de Reish Lakish. And we've referenced him before. He was, Rav Chiya Bar Ada was the Rebbe. And Mikri Dardiki means the young, right? He was the young teacher of Reish Lakish's children. Okay, so Rav Chiya Bar Ada, Mikri Dardiki de Reish Lakish, Hava Ivgur Klasa Yoimi. So he disappeared for 3 days. He went away for 3 days. But lo yasa, he didn't come to do his duties. So ki yasa, so when he came, amar le, so Reish Lakish said, I understand. Right? Why did you call out for 3 days? Am I ifgiris? Why did you disappear for 3 days? He says like this. Here's what happened. Amar le, dolus achas hiniach li abba, a vine. My father left me a vine. Ubatzarti mimena, yom rishon gilameyas ashkalas. And the first day, I was able to harvest 300 clusters of grapes, eshkol legrav, and each eshkol made a saw of wine. So you got a lot of wine out of it. I was very busy harvesting my very productive grapes. Yom sheni, the second day, so that was the first day. The second day, batzarti gimel eshkolos. Again, I was able to harvest 300 grapes, shtei eshkolos legrav. Okay, and here I was able to produce the amount of wine was it took 2 eshkolos or a half, each one was a half a saw of wine. Yom Shishi, the third day again, but Sarti Menachim Meas eshkolos, 300 grapes, Shalosh eshkolos legrav. And it was 3, meaning he was only, it took 3 eshkolos, 3 clusters to make a saw of wine, so it's a third. Vivkarti Yoser Mechatzeam, by the way, I still left over plenty of wine, more than half. I was mafkir, I couldn't tend to it, I had to come back to fulfill my responsibility to you, but at least for those 3 days, that's why I was gone. So Amar Le'er Shlakish said to me, Ilav de Ifgris, had you not disappeared, Hava Avda Tve, you would have made more. Meaning that there was something symbolic in the fact that each day that you spent away, your wine, your grapes produced less wine. Okay, that the first day, each one of the clusters of grapes made a saw of wine. By the second day, it took 2 clusters, and by the third day, it took 3 clusters. So we see that was the message over there that you shouldn't have spent so much time away. Remember, by Yecheskel Ikla Lebnei Brak, when Yecheskel went to Bnei Brak, Chazinu Lahana Easy. He saw certain goats, the Ka'achlin Tusi Te'eni, that they were eating under fig trees, Vikanotav Duvshumi Te'eni, and the honey was dripping from the fig trees, Vicholva, and the milk, so they were eating from the fig trees, and then he watched that the milk of these izim mixed, commingled, tayef minayu, the milk was dripping from the goats, uma'araba, they thought it was mixing with the honey of the fig trees. Amar, he said, hainu zavas chavul devash, ah, this is what it means, eret zavas chavul devash, flowing with milk and honey, it's the honey dripping off of the te'enim trees and the milk coming out of the goats, mixing, intermingling. Amar Rabbi Yaakov ben Dustai, milud lo'aynai, from the distance from Middle Ainah, Shloisha Milim, Pamachas, Kodamti, Menefesh. Okay, one time I got up, Beneshef, sorry, I got up early at dawn, Vehalachti ad Karsule de Devash, Shalteinim. And I was able to, I went as I was walking, it was reached my ankles, the Devash of the figs. Amar Shakash Lidi Chazali, Zavas Chavu Devash, Tzipari. I saw the Zavas Chavu Devash, Tzipari, Vahavu Shitzer Milin, Ashitzer Milin. It was 16 by 16 mil. Amar Barchana Lidi Chazali, Zavas Chavu Devash, Shal Eretz Yisrael, the other areas of Eretz Yisrael. So we see that Tzipari was a little bit more Zavas Chavu Devash ish, which had 16 by 16 mil. He says, everywhere else in Eretz Yisrael, Vahavla, Kimi Be Michsi, Ad Ekra, the Tulbanki. It was from like it stretched from that one place to the other place. Chaf Beis Parsi Orcha, which meant it was 22 parsa by 6. Okay, Pusya Shitsa Parsi. So 6 parsa by 26 parsa. Okay.
What is this talking about? What's it teaching us?
Huh?
What is this talking about? What's it teaching us? It's honey up to your ankles.
Yeah, the land was quite Zavas Chalva Dvash. Rav Chelva, Rav Avi, Rav Asi, Bar Chanina, Ikula, Hu Asra. Okay, they went to a certain place. Icy kamayu afarsika. They brought a peach, dahavu ki ilfis, that was the size of a frying pan. But ilfis kifarhinai. The ilfis kifarhinai, by the way, if you want to know how large is this peach that they're talking about, kamava heisoyin. It was 5 sa. Achlu shlish, vifkiru shlish, vinasu lufne behentim shlish. They ate a third, they were mafgar a third, and then they left a third for the animals. And the first thing down here, well, we know that there's a chiyuv that a person has to feed his animals before himself. So what's going on over here? So he says, it's very specific, Ksav Sofer says that they brought him a third, right? If you say, it's what, aisu kamayu afarska, it wasn't his own food. The chiyuv to feed your animal first is when you're taking from your own food, so then you have a chiyuv to feed your animal first. However, if something's being given to you, and that's situation, and then you would not have that chiyuv, could eat it on his own. So he ate a third, and then they were completely satisfied with such a large peach that they were mafker, and they threw the rest before the animal. Shana ikler belazer lahasam ba'isu lekamei. Okay, that Rabbi Lazar went there, and they brought before him a peach again. Naktu biyade. The point was, the first time it was be'olfa, it was in the super large whatever it was, griddle, whatever it was, that was 5 sa. The second time he was able to hold it with his hands. Okay, this message is that we see that that at its core, the land of Eretz Yisrael, and we'll see this in the second, we'll end with that it could produce an extraordinary amount, the yield that it could produce, and it's based on our avinus that cause it to produce less, that the success of the land of Eretz Yisrael is based on us. They took the peach with his hand. Amar Eretz Pri Lemilcha. Okay, that the Eretz Pri, the Galashan of Melech, salt, meaning that it turns to salt. The fruit of the land turns bad. Meiras Yoishveba. Okay, that's the message here, that the avonos of the people living on the land can affect the yield of the produce of land. Rishuman Levi Ikol Legavla. Rishuman Levi went to Gavla Chazur Lahanu Ketufi. He saw these clusters of grapes. Avokaimi Ki Igli. They appeared at a distance. He thought it was a calf. That's how big these clusters are. Like, oh, what's that calf over there? Okay. Amar Agolim Ben Agafanim. Ah, there's calves between the clusters of grapes. Amrule Katufi. No, that was just a cluster of grapes. Ninhu. Amar Eretz Echnisu Pei Raseha. Says, I don't understand. Comes Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Eretz Eretz Echnisu Pei Raseha. Bring it in, right? Why are you producing such bountiful fruit? Pei Raseha Lami Ata Moitze Pei Raseha. Right? Echnisu Pei Raseha. Bring them in. Lami Ata Moitze Pei Raseha. Aravim Halalu. For these Aravim that are living on the lands, the Klal Yisrael is not getting the benefit of it. Okay? Sha'amdu Aleinu B'chataseinu. Right? That the Arvim halalu that are now on the lands because of our chatam. Lashana, the next year, Ikla Rav Chiyah, Lahasam Rav Chiyah went there, Chavzinu Dahavu, Kaimi Ki Izi. So he saw clusters of grapes that appeared like goats. Amar Izimana Gafanim. He said, there are goats, right? Again, we already see that it diminished. First time it was a calf, a large calf, now it was Ki Izim. So he said, right, Izimana Gafanim, Amrule. So they told, as soon as he remarked that, right, the neighborhood farmer said, Zil, leave. Don't curse us like your friend. You saw what happened last year. Last year he came and they were like calves. They already went down. Just still get out of here. Okay, you're affecting our produce. In the heyday, right, when Eretz Yisrael had the special bracha, a base saw of planting, right, which should have yielded a base saw of fruit, I guess, was able to make oisechameshes ribuya kurin, was able to make 5. That's a reboy is 10,000. So 50,000 core. One besa was able to make 50,000 core yield of produce. Yeshivasa shel Tzayan, okay, and in the settlement of Tzayan, besa is a shivim kurim. I don't know if you could say that was normal. That was extra normal, but we'll see that in the bracha. So let's say that this is the normal amount. Let's say it's not a besa, but let's say that you can make 70 core in normal in Tzayan. Okay, now we're going to start comparing. How do we get to 50,000? So how do we get from 70,000 to 50? How do we get from 70 kor shivim to 50,000? The Tanya Amar Meir Ni Risu Bikas Beishan. The Meir said, I saw in the valley of Beishan, Beisa. Right, valleys are generally more fertile lands, as we explained, that the Ani, Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im, that his lands for planting are on top, because the valley gets the most nutrients. Okay, so, Bikas Beishan, Beisa Isa Shivim Kurim. In Beishan, I saw that a Beisa made 70 kor. Ve'en l'chamula shem. Now let's start comparing lands. Ve'en l'chamula b'chol Eretz Yisrael mei Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is considered the most fertile land, as the pasuk says. by near Sodom, says Shenemar Kigan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim, that we see that Mitzrayim was considered the most fertile. And Tzayan is the most fertile of the most fertile. Dahavu Marbe Mamalachim, right? Because that's where that was the lush greenery where the Malachim used to keep their palaces. That was their summer homes, right? That was where it was. They had nice land over there. Dechsev Kiyoyu Bitzayan Sarav. We see that the Malachim, the Sarav, the princes were in Tzayan. Now let's compare. So now we have 70 in Tzayan Mitzrayim, which is the most fertile of Mitzrayim. That's 70. Each base core, each base cell would make 70 core. Now, Vein Lecha Trashim Shebechol Eretz Yisrael, Yosem Echevron. That Chevron is the most rocky terrain. Why? To have a cover by Shechivi, right? It was a wasteland, so they used it as a graveyard. That was the worst land in Eretz Yisrael, was, right, you wouldn't build your graveyard on the most fertile land. And Chevron is seven times better than Tzayan. Now, how do we know that Chevron is seven times better than Tzayan? Dechsib, because the Pasuk says, V'chevron sheva shanim nid misa by the meraglim, lifnei Tzayan Mitzrayim, that it was built 7 years before. Now, we can't say that it means it was really built 7 years before, because these cities were built after the children of Chum. My Nivnisa, what does it mean it was built? In the Nivnisa, Mom, she wanted to tell me that it was Taka built. Chevron was built 7 years before Tzayan. Asher on the Bain of Bayis, Lebnoi Katon, Kaidim Sheyimna, Lebnoi Gadol. He's going to build a house for his younger son before his older son. Shenamar, where do we see this? Uvnei Chum, Kush, Mitzrayim, Ufutu, Kanan. Right, so we see Mitzrayim was a middle son. Kush, Mitzrayim, Ufutu, Kanan was the youngest son. So Canaan, Chevron is in Canaan. Tzayan is in Mitzrayim. So Elamai must be, and it says the Chevron, Sheva Shon Nivnisa, the Chevron was built 7 years before Tzayan Mitzrayim. It can't really mean that Canaan was built before Mitzrayim. That wouldn't make any sense for a man to build a house for his younger son before his older son. Ella, so what does it mean? When he says Sheva Shon Nivnisa, it means Shemavuna. It's better, greater. Al Achas Mishiva B'Tzayan. Okay, so we're saying that Tzayan, that must be that Chevron, means that it's 7 times better, not 7 years older, 7 times better. What's 7 times 70? It's 490. And since Vahali need Betrashim, so again, we're trying to figure out what is the yield of produce, what will it yield in the crops yield in Eretz Yisrael. So if in Sion it was 70 core, so then in Chevron it would be 7 times, that's 490. But Chevron, like we said, is Trashim, that's the garbage land. Right, that's the for farming purposes at least. So behind me, leave betrashim, aval shaloi betrashim. So you got to give it something. You got to say that the farmland of Eretz Yisrael has got to be something better than Chevron. Let's say 500. So we round up to 500. 70 times 7, 7 times better is 490 plus 10 is 500. Chamesh mo. Behind me, leave shaloi betrashim. Now, by the way, this is not in the heyday. This is not with the brachas. That's standard. How much does it produce of the brachas? Well, we have a reference to that in the Torah. Avol b'brachaseh ksiv v'yizra Yitzchak baratzahi. How much? How much did Yitzchak get? Me'a sha'arim, 100 times. What's 500 times 100? That's 50,000. So we see that, going back to the beginning of the Braisa, Eretz Yisrael b'brachaseh was able, a beisa made 50,000 kor. Good. Tanya, there's your math lesson for today. Tanya, Amarib Yesi, Sabi Yehuda Haisa Isa Chamesh Sa'in. That every sa in Yehuda would produce 5 sa. You were able to get out of it sa kemach, that's regular flour, sa soilus, fine flour, sa subin, bran flour, sa morsin, some other sort of flour, coarser than that, sa kiburia, and then that's for like the yucky bread, okay, black bread. Okay, so but the point is, you were able to get 5 sa of different flours out of every sa in Yehuda. It's good. It's proper to praise the land of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because we see that it's able to produce far more than others. Beisa achasin yechli abba. My father left me one beisa, and mi mena mishcha. I'm able to get mashach. Mi mena chamar. I'm able to get wine. I'm able to get oil. Mi mena ibur. I get grain. Mi mena kidneys. I get beans. Mi mena royos miknei. And I also have a place for my cattle to graze. Amar lehu bar amura lebar ara di Yisrael. A certain amura, okay, told a foreigner living in the land, said to somebody who was from Eretz Yisrael, "Hi ta'alsa de kaimi aguda." He says, "Tell me, this palm tree that you have, aguda de yardina, on the banks of the Jordan River, kama gadrisumina, how much are you able to harvest from this one tree?" So Amarle said, I get shitin kuri, I get 60 kor. Amarle, that's nothing. Akatu by alisu, but akatu by alisu ba, okay, that you've just come into the land, and yet, achrivusa, you're already destroying its ability to produce. I guess that the land is more sensitive to the chataim of a Yisrael over a guy. So anan meyav estrim kuri hava gozrina mine. We used to get 120. He said, no. We didn't reduce anything. Amar le anan nami mechad giso kamina. No, I thought you meant when we harvested one side of it. From each side, we got 60. We really got 120, just like you did. We didn't make it any worse. Amar Rav Chista, the pasuk says, "Ve'etein lecha eretz chemdas nachlas tzvi." So we see it's considered the choice, eretz chemdas, right? The deer land nachlas tzvi. That we consider eretz Yisrael like the nachlas tzvi of a deer. Lama eretz Yisrael nimshal tzvi. Why do we compare eretz Yisrael eretz tzvi? Why do we call it like a deer? Lama lach mat tzvi ze ein ere machzik besare. That a deer. It's skin, and we mentioned this before. We mentioned the shot in Hiniach Moisav Akaren Atzvi. This is that Gemara over here. That Ein Oire Machzik Besarei. That its skin is unable to contain its flesh. Rashi says Sha'or Kivetz V'Goyim La'Achar Hafshatasei. That after you flay, you hunt a tzvi, so the skin, when you take it off, it shrinks. So if you look at a deer, right, it looks like the skin's very stretched around the body of a deer. It's very taut, and that's what it's saying. So it shrinks afterwards, and you're unable to cover the same amount. So too, Eretz Yisrael ain't a machzek es peresel, that Eretz Yisrael will be unable to contain its peres, okay, that it produces far more of a yield of produce than it should be. Davar acher matzvi zek kal mikol achayis, just like a tzvi is fast, more than any other chayah, Eretz Yisrael kal mikol aratzos levashos peresel, that it is able to ripen, meaning it's able to produce, to turn the turnaround time, right? You can get so much out of a field. So if you're able to turn it more times, turn your inventory more times, right, you're more successful. So it's able to turn the field to produce, that it's much more kal levashel to ripen its fruits. Imatzvi ze kal ve'im besarei shamin. Well, the problem is, right, if you look at your fastest running animal, like your fastest running human, they're not going to be very fat, right? It's going to be, they run fast, and therefore they're going to be quite lean. Well, lean doesn't make good meat to eat. So you might think that Eretz Yisrael, well, if we're comparing the fruits to Eretz Yisrael, well, maybe they produce fast, so maybe they won't be fat. They won't be completely, they ripen, but they're not good. So then Eretz Yisrael, kal levash al vein peresel, shmeinim, it doesn't get fat fruits. Tam alay mar zavas chal v'devash. No, we see it's not true. Shmeinim echal v'mesukim v'devash, that it's fatter than chelev, shmeinim echelev v'mesukim v'devash. Rebbe Elazar Kiava, salak Eretz Yisrael, amar. When Rabbi Elazar went to Eretz Yisrael, he said, "Paltili mechada." I was saved from one of the klalos. We'll see what the klalos are soon. There was three klalos issued in the pasuk. So when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he was saved from one. Kisam chuhu. When they gave him smicha, Amar paltili mitarti. Said, "I'm saved from the second of the klalos." Kiosvinu b'soida ibur. When they placed him in the soida ibur, meaning that he now had access to the soida ibur, he was able to. We mentioned the soida ibur yesterday. According to one of the pshatim, was legalis a soid. Seida Iba, right? The ability to understand the astrology and all that's therein. So Amar Patalim Mitlas. Now I'm saved from the third curse. Well, third klal. What is this klal? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'hoisa yodai el hanevim hachoizim shav." That in my hand will be against the nevim who are issuing false prophecies. Beside ami lo yiyu. So that they're not going right. So the curses are Said Ami Lo Yiyu. They're not going to get Said Ami. So that's Said Eber, that he was now alluding to the fact that he was now able to recognize Ksav Beis Yisrael La Yichtivu, that he would not be written in the Ksav Beis Yisrael. That refers to Smicha. Vel Armas Yisrael La Yavoyu. Okay, Kimash Ma'ay, that the third call was he wasn't going to get it. So he came to Eretz Yisrael, he got Smicha, and he was able to learn or get involved in the Said Ha'Eber. So he was able to come. Combat all of these three klalos. Rabbi Zeira Kiyav, ashkach mabra lamavar. He could not find a ferry to take him across. So his mom is right on the other side of the river, and he couldn't get a ferry. But instead, he saw they had like this ropes course, right? Like a piece of plank of wood with ropes, Rashi explains. Okay, and what did he start doing? Nakar b'mitzra v'ka'avar. He walked over this bridge, this walking bridge, which wasn't really suitable for walking. He was able to walk. He walked over it. Okay, he clamored his way over. Amalut Tzeduki. So Tzeduki said to him, "I'm a paziza, you impetuous or impulsive people." The kanmisu pumaychu lu denaychu. Right? Why don't you just wait for the ferry? You're always running. Right? That you put your pumaychu, your mouth before your ears. What did we say when it came time to accept the Torah? Nasa v'nishma. First we said, Nasa v'nishma, before we actually heard what it was about. Again, it shows the impetuousness of Klal Yisrael when it comes to Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, to serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. Akatu b'pzizusaychu kamaisu. Okay, that you're still, right, you haven't learned. Nasa v'nishma thousands and thousands years ago, and you're still doing this. This is what Tzeduki said to him. Amalei, this is what, I shouldn't run? Any means available to get there? So, duchta d'moish v'aron le'zachu la. They were unable to actually reach Eretz Yisrael. Ana miyemar dezachinole. I got to seize the opportunity. That's it. Rav Abba Menashe Kipi. So now we're going to show that the Amoraim here, that they showed an extra love for the land, specific the physical land. Rav Abba Menashe Kipi the Akai. He kissed the Kipi. So we have two Pshatim. Rashi says it's either the almig trees, so a certain type of trees that Akko was known for producing a high quality of wood, so he would kiss those. That was emblematic of that he had reached it. Or Rashi says, Kipa the Akko is the rocks of Akko. Okay, that Akko would be the entry point there. So I was originally thinking port, and then I saw Taisa says, first of all, the Tema that we say that Linyan Gittin, that Akko is like Eretz Yisrael, so we see it's not Eretz Yisrael, so what's going on? So he said, no, Akko was a city on the border. And it was part of it was an Eretz Yisrael, and part of it was not an Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that's why we say Akko Eretz Yisrael. The part that isn't an Eretz Yisrael has a din of like Eretz Yisrael Linyan Gittin. But the point is, there is a part of Akko that would be. And then Tosfos quotes to Yerushalmi, Mefarish Yerushalmi, Chetzer be'Eretz veChetzer beChutzlaretz. Okay, next Rav Chanina Misakin Maskele, he would fix, he would tend to the pathways of Eretz Yisrael. Rami Rav Asi, Kaimum Mishamsha Lutulo Mitula Lashamsha. They would move from the sun to the shade and the shade to the sun. Meaning, if it was a hot day, they would move into the shade. And what it meant was they didn't want to bring out the negativity towards Eretz Yisrael in any way, shape, or form. Even though, obviously, it had nothing to do with the land. It was coming from the sun. But the point is, Eretz Yisrael, it's so hot here. Right? That we didn't want people to say anything negative towards the land of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, they were extra sensitive that if it was a hot day, they would move into the shade so that none of the Talmidim, that nobody there would feel it. And if it was a cold day, they didn't want, Eretz Yisrael is cold, so they'd move into the sun. Again, always try to present Eretz Yisrael in the best light. Rav Chiya bar Gamda, Migander bar Afra, he rolled around in the Afra of the land, to fulfill the following pasuk, Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ki ratzu abedecha sabanea, v'as afarel yichaynenu. And the afar of Eretz Yisrael is favored. Amar Reb Zera, Amar Reb Yirmiyah bar Abba, Dor sheben David ba. So again, this is going back, and Tosfos says this is going back based on the we had before, the Maisa Mashiach, Tchias HaMesim, so we're inserting this at the end. Dor sheben David ba, kitigura betalmidei chachamim. There'll be a certain kitrug on the talmidei chachamim, kamritza kamei teshmuel. When I said in front of Shmuel, Amar, it's going to be a painful process to get there. Tziruf achar tziruf. That it's a lashon of like a tziruf is like you smelt or you're melting it down, right? It's removing the impurities. And the way you do it, tziruf achar tziruf, is Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Va'id ba asiria, v'shava, v'hoysa levar. Okay, that there's a certain purging that's going to be going on. Asiria, only a tenth will survive. Meaning that there's the way, right? You reduce down, you move the impurities, so we're going to be just left with a tent. Tani Rav Yosef, Bezuzi, Bezuzi, the Bezuzi. Famous Gemara, that there'll be plunderers and plunderers. Again, we can see this is going to be a little bit of a turbulent time as we lead up to the Darshim and David. But Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Asidin Kol Ilone Srak Shver Tzisrael, continuing this idea. And even though we brought up that the Ilone Srak, and Tosfos mentions, we brought up Ilone Srak before, when we said the Ilone Srak of Eretz Yisrael, part of the brachos and hazinu, will need each ilane srak, which means fields that aren't producing fruits, will need two asoinas, two donkeys to carry them. But now we're seeing that kol ilane srak shav Eretz Yisrael, shitanu peres, they will all come back. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, that they will be able to produce fruit again. Shenemar ki eitz nasa peria teina v'gefen nasanu chelam, that the eitz will bear its fruit. Teina v'gefen nasanu chelam hadron alach. Shnegan and Xeris and Mazel Tov. Just wanted to mention one thought to connect really to Nedarim. We at least have like 2 minutes. We really, and we kind of blew through it yesterday. We were a little bit of a rush, Rosh Chodesh and the davening times and all that. And we went through the massive sugya. We alluded to it a little bit, that the idea of shalosh shvuos and shalosh yalo b'chaim. It's such an interesting thought I wanted to share with the Olam. I haven't really fully developed it, but so in talking about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, yet we talk about the shalosh shvuos, right? The three ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nishba klal Yisrael kaviyachol. But really just thinking about moving on to Nedarim, the Nedarim is going to start with also an idea of Nedar. A Neder is essentially, it functions like a Shvua, it's different. It's Ifser. Ifser Chetza, Ifser Gavra, but it's this idea that we're able to impact Kedusha or separation with our mouths. And we're coming off of the Shalosh Shvuas of Klal Yisrael, and when the Masechta starts in Nedarim, we also start with three Shvuas that we're going to start with, and I guess maybe a little bit of Haskalah onto Nedarim, that the Nedarim will start with Shalosh Kinoi Shvuas, right? There's three types of Shvuas, and this is explained there in the Ran, that there's a standard Shvua, full Lashon Shvua, then there is the idea of a Shvua of a Kinoi Shvua, that we use a nickname. Why? We'll discuss in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. And then the idea of Yadoi Shvua, that you a not fully developed Shvua, we'll give it a Yad, like a handle, and we'll extend it. So we see that we go right from Shalosh Shvuas over here in Ksubas at the end, in Shir HaShirim. Now why Ksubas? The Pasuk of Shalosh Shvuas is referenced in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim gives a euphemism to Klal Yisrael's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a marriage. So we end in Ksubas, we refer to the Shalosh Shvuas in the Hishbati Eschem, the Shalosh Shvuas in the Hishbati Eschem there, and we then go from the idea that, yes, in Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about the land that has Kedusha, but we also see that the individual, as in every person in Klal Yisrael, has the ability to impart Kedusha. Okay, we're going to be talking about the Isser of how you Asser something with your words, but it's the ability that you can, according to some at least, you can create an entirely new concept of Kedusha with your words. We go from Kedusha to Kedusha, from the Shalosh Shvuos to the Shalosh Nedarim.